You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found that 12 fractional ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Homarg, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the big marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I had to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side with me, and we're talking moccasin and Joe. Where the party go hell? Out in the St. John's swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, Tom. Off the chain. Off the chain. I feel like $1 million. We've been busy as hell, and things have been going okay. So that's
super.
The name of the game for us, okay? You know, it's been a huge, huge year for us. You know, I've got to tell everybody out there, we have gone so many miles. We've experienced so many things. We've experienced in this last 2 weeks has been totally incredible. What does that mean, totally incredible? Remember, I've talked about the weather, ladies and gentlemen, since last October. A lot of strange things are falling off its back. Tampa, Florida, the airport had to close down for 3 days. But we restriped the runway because the navigation was off. Now, guess what? Those same things are affecting our creatures.
Yeah, Tom, are you still there?
Yeah, what was that, a buzzsaw?
No, you dropped off for some reason. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, it was like a buzzsaw that was going through. I don't know. I have no idea.
Interference of some sort, yeah.
Okay, nevertheless,
I hope everybody can still hear me. It's been strange. We've been in an area where there's morel mushrooms and berries that have become mature, and nothing's touched them, okay? Not even the bear. It was crazy. We were out in Vermont. We were out in Washington. Saw all this happening, ladies and gentlemen. My gosh, I couldn't believe what we were seeing. Then I go to find out, I made a few calls after we left Washington. A couple of my folks that I know that are in the brush and in the field.
You know, Tom, you're dropping off.
Well, Bill, I don't know what's happening. I'm talking straight into
your phone. It's your phone, Tom. I don't know. It's fading out. It's okay now.
Okay. All right. Well, I got it right here, Bill, and I'll leave it stationary. And hold on. I'll just put it down, and this way we won't have that problem any longer, I hope. Okay?
All right. Yeah. I'm just letting you know. So you understand.
Okay.
So you know that there's a problem.
Sounded like a buzzsaw, Bill. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Okay. So nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, it's affected these creatures. It's affected their migrational route, their pattern. In other words, say March or February, here it is supposed to be winter, and all of a sudden we get 3 days of 85 degree temperature or more. These creatures are thinking, oh my God, is it time to move on? I believe that's what's happened. Because now what we're finding out, especially in the north areas of the states, there's things going on that's incredible. Sightings all over the place. And the reason being is they're coming down from Canada or they're going back to Canada. We don't know. We don't know if they're screwed up. We're going to find out. I got to tell you, it's been hard. It's been tough. We've traveled many miles to meet some new people in the Bigfoot world. You know, of course, they're wonderful people. But you know, we've traveled pretty damn far. Get to a hot spot, supposedly, where people have been seeing these things and people who've cultivated the areas for 4 years. One case, it was for 4 years. And the guy, sincere as a day is long, he's posted over 61 videos. Got some compelling evidence also. Not just that, you know, back up in the Pacific Northwest. Things aren't right. These creatures don't know where they're at. They don't know where they're going. All of a sudden now, here it is, you know, the 20th of July. Think about that. This should be full bloom in the summer for us. Well, the East Coast is having record numbers when it comes to heat. The West Coast is freezing. Pacific Northwest is still raining and they're cold. Something strange, folks, going on. Got to get to the bottom of it. I think we will. We were out there in Washington, me and the guys. I got to tell you, we met some great people. Great people. Without any further ado, I'd like to go up there to Washington.
Tom, we just lost Russ. He just dropped off.
Why don't you find out if you can get him?
Yeah, we'll find out. Thor is here.
Okay, well, we'll wait for Russ to come back. Now we'll go over to Arizona. Let me tell you what's going on in Arizona, ladies and gentlemen. Out there in Horley Park, Horley Lake, there's a lot of action that's been going on, though, as of last week. People saw Bigfoot, and they were taking pictures of it. A lot of resort people that were out there, a lot of guests. There was one good guy, good buddy, Thor Riley, him and his dad, called me and they says, hey, we know that you're a friend of the Apaches up here, and we're calling you first. Could you help us out up here? And of course I did. Sent the video out to our guys, and didn't have much hope in it because of the clowning around that was going on. But then we go to find out, wow, there was other people seeing other creatures, and they had video of it also around the store out there. Without any further ado, let's get Thor from Arizona. Thor, are you out there?
Go ahead, Thor.
Hey, Tom.
How are you, good buddy?
I I can't hear what you're saying at all.
I said, how are you?
I am great. I am very great.
Good. I want to thank you, first of all, for taking to be on the show and sharing a little bit of your story with people around the world about the Bigfoot situation. I was enthralled when you had called. And, of course, you know, I got on it right, like I do with everything. Why don't you be kind enough to tell my listeners out there exactly what happened and how you got involved in this thing?
I can barely hear what you're saying. I barely heard the last words. But I can explain, you know, what had happened. I received a video, I'd say about 3 days ago, I think it is now. And, it was from some relatives, and so it was on a phone. I wasn't able to, I couldn't see it that clear, and it really freaked me out that, you know, there was Bigfoot was actually real, because I'm a huge skeptic, and I still probably don't think Bigfoot exists, but we had sent it out to you, and after we sent it out, we took a look at it, and in the video, we blew it up on the screen, we played it slow, and it looks like there's a shoe in the video, so I honestly don't know what to believe, but in the area of the north side of the reservation, at the Holly Lake area, I don't know if you know where that is, but there's a lot of people seeing Bigfoot in that area, and they're hearing it, you know, tourists are talking about it. We went up there actually the day after the video was taken, and we went to the store there, and the guy there said that every single person walking into the store is talking about Bigfoot. They're saying they've seen it, they've heard it, they've got pictures of it, and they're reading out, they're listening to it at night, trying to follow the noises, and, you know, that's what we've been hearing from all the way there.
Let me ask you this, Thor. You think that all the fires down there have brought these things back down to a lower elevation to where the reservation is?
Can you repeat that again?
Yeah. Do you think because of the fires that you guys have had in Arizona, you think it's pushed these creatures to a lower elevation?
Oh, yeah. That actually might be the reason, yeah. It could be the reason. I recently heard, like, about a day ago or 2 days ago, a lady on the east side of the reservation had actually seen the Bigfoot again. I don't know the story to this one. I was just told that.
Uh-huh. Well, so, nevertheless, there's a lot of excitement going on in the reservation, right?
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of sightings. It's not just Bigfoot, too. It's weird creatures people are seeing. They're seeing different kind of stuff. I don't know. It's really creepy.
Well, I got to tell you, it's blown my mind. The last 2.5-3 weeks, every place we've gone, we've experienced stuff that we've got. Well, just for me, my own experience, okay? I have not experienced this in going on 40 years. How strange it is. Morel mushrooms, not touched. Berries that have come to complete, ready to be picked and not touched. Something's not right. You know, there's nothing in the areas that we had been, but yet there was studies going on for years. Okay? So I really think your case has a lot to do with the fires. You know what? We got a lot more show ahead of us, Thor. Please just mute yourself out. I want you to listen. And by the way, anything goes on down there, get on that horn and give me a jingle, and we'll be out there, Johnny on the spot, quick as can be, okay?
All right, that sounds great.
Thank you, Thor, for all your help. God bless
you. All right. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Tom, Russ has dialed back in. Michael, our guest after Russ is not dialed in. I'm not able to contact him. I'm going to unmute Russ right now.
Okay, good. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Thor in Arizona, and I'll tell you what, he's been a great help to us, and a lot of action is going on over there on the reservation. I believe a lot of it has to do with the fires that are going on there. Without any more further ado, let's get back up there to Washington to a newfound friend, Russ. Nice, congenial guy. Russ, you out there?
Yes, I am.
How are you, bud?
Yeah, I'm doing good. How's yourself?
Thank you for asking. Well, it's just another day for us. We're just out there doing what we know how to do. And that's what we do. And you can't get any better than what we do. We love our life. You know, I got to tell you, I was glad to see that there's such people that are so intuitive and articulate as you have been in your pursuit. You and your friend, the other guy, Russ. This is the double Russes, ladies and gentlemen, up there in Washington. Two great.
That's right. Little Russ and Big Russ.
There you go. And they're both talented to boot. So one's a theologian, I guess you call it, and the other one is a soon to be rock star, or still is.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, today that's where he's at. But you know,
I wouldn't mind both being rock stars, actually, but. He's got a better shot than me.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. You've got a great voice, though. And ladies and gentlemen, you may hear from him down the line. He composed a Bigfoot song. So no telling. Maybe we'll all hear it on the radio. That would be a great thing. You might want to record it and send it over to Marco Bill and let him play it on our radio station one week. We'd really like that, Russ.
Yeah, sure. Sure, I'll do that.
Now, listen, you know, we spent a pleasant day and through the night with you guys. We enjoyed ourselves. We heard a lot of your stories, a lot of the endeavors that went on there. But the one I really enjoyed, I think, was the one at the sighting was across the road. Can you tell everybody about that one?
Yeah, well, Russell and I, after I, in another spot, smelled something and heard some knocking, I got kind of hyped up about Bigfoot again. We'd been searching for Bigfoot for 4 years, and to tell you the truth, nothing happened hardly. But then I smelled something and heard the knocking, and then we decided to go camping out at this place about 100 yards elevation above this system of ponds and marshes and creeks. And close to about dusk, I made a call up the valley and then down the valley. And you could hear anything out there, by the way. It was just dead calm. And I told Russell, I said, now listen to those frogs. If they stop croaking, you know something's moving down there. Well, sure enough, about 5 minutes after I made the calls, the frog stopped. And so we got a little freaked, but we settled down, and I started a fire, and we sat around the campfire for a couple hours. And then we went to bed, and just before I fell asleep, I thought I heard a couple of rocks hit the campsite. And I have no problem falling asleep, so I fell right asleep. But Russell couldn't sleep. He was a little bit worried about what was going on, and he said he could hear something big moving around the campsite. Well, the next morning, we got up, and Russell, without me prompting him, you know, said that a rock hit his tent. And so I don't know opposable thumbs what threw those rocks, but I do know that that it would be very difficult for a human to walk all that way down there, you know, being quiet, and throw a couple of rocks and then retreat. And nobody knew we were down there anyway. So, you know, that was our one big encounter.
You know,
you still there?
Yeah, of course I am. I just like to digest what I just heard. And of course, this is the second time or third time I've heard it. I know that your partner has experienced a hell of a lot more than you have. But I noticed that you're more of the sleuth. You're the detective, okay? He's more positive, you're more negative, and you're saying, hey, well, wait a minute, maybe this is a print, but do you think it's a print of Bigfoot?
I always try to find a reason for everything. I don't want to, you know, until I see it with my own two eyes or maybe finding a print isolated somewhere where nobody would be. I got to tell you that I'm still a skeptic, even after these two experiences that I've had in the last 6 weeks. I'm not as skeptical as I used to be, though.
Right. Well, I got to tell you something. You got some great territory up there. The area is just so superb and in the making for these creatures, especially because of the logging that's going on up there. My gosh, no one would ever think. Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to really be there to see it. You know, you see the pictures on our website, but that has nothing to do with that. You go 5 miles down the logging road, and you're into a city. You would never know that this was going on up there. That, I think, is the thing that just mesmerizes me, and ever since I've been doing this, especially up there in the Pacific Northwest, because of all the trees and the forest and the lumber that's going on up in that area. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And in fact, I've been thinking about other areas that I think hold a lot more promise than the area that we're in, you know, for finding footprints, especially. North River and Smith Creek, where I have a friend who grew up on Smith Creek, at the mouth of Smith Creek, and had several encounters when she was a young lady. She never saw the animal, but she smelled it, heard it, felt it, which makes me think that they're attracted to women. I really think that, or females, I should say, in general.
Well, it depends on, you know, and I'm not being disrespectful to the gals out there, especially if there are women, if it's that time of the month, especially these creatures, they got great scent, and they do, you know, smell at the monthly season of a cycle of a woman. And I don't know if you know that or not.
That's right. And that gives me an idea of perhaps how to lure one in. With enough said about that.
I totally agree. Well, listen, it's been a joy talking with you, and I can't wait to hear about your friend next week when we get him on. But you know, just mute yourself out, Russ. We got a whole lot of show ahead of us and a lot of interesting stories, a lot of interesting people. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing a little bit of your story with us tonight.
You're welcome, and it's going to be 2 weeks before Big Russell gets a hold of you. He's got a concert tonight and next Wednesday.
Okay, fair enough. Well, we'll
all
have
right. There. Talk to you later.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Russ up there in Washington. Great guy, him and his other partner, both named Russell. Marco, let's go to a commercial. And here we go.
In August 2008. There was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery. And deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One that hurt six people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And back to you, Tom. And we have Michael on the line, by the way. Michael did not make it. Well, listen, but we do have Jack. Okay, that's even better. Okay, that's super enough. Michael can super enough. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, here's a guy out here that I've had the pleasure of talking to now for a few days, and we're conversing, and I believe what he's got out in his area is probably some incredible things. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to let him talk about it. We've got Jack from the East Coast. Jack, you out there?
I'm here, Tom.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. I hope you are as well.
Thank you so much. I am a little tired, but that goes with the turf, as they say.
Oh,
but nevertheless, Jack, I've been intrigued. You know, you are a researcher that is out of the realm, out of the norm. What am I saying? What do I mean? I mean, you've trekked more hours and put more hours on logs than most veteran Bigfoot hunters. And I'm so intrigued with that, and the way in your style and how you do it, I take my hat off to you. But
appreciate that.
What I would like for you to do, Jack, you're going to have the stage here. I'm not going to interrupt you. But what I'd like for you to do is I'd like you to bring my listeners around the globe, bring them up to date, how you got started in the Bigfoot world and why you think Bigfoot exists and what you're doing that the rest of the world isn't doing. And you've been successful, I think. And you don't have to give any trade secrets or any locations, but tell them what you've encompassed. Tell them what you've gone through. Can you do that for me?
I'll do my best. I appreciate all the kind words coming from a researcher that I know has logged the has not just talked the talk but walked the walk. And I don't know how many years. I guess 35 years experience you have, and you've spent put your time into the field. So you're one that can relate to the hours of trekking that I've done. But I've only been in the business of Bigfoot investigating for about 4 years now. I guess I have always had an interest in Bigfoot and other cryptids. I've had too many hobbies that going on for years. And unfortunately, I go from one to the next, and I never really did Bigfoot hunting until, later years of my life. I'm semi-retired now, and the last 4 years I've put in quite a few hours. I always knew that they were up in the Pacific Northwest, and I heard that they were on the East Coast as well, where I live. But growing up, I always thought that it was just a West Coast phenomenon. I spent a good portion of my time overseas before I retired, and I didn't have the luxury of putting in any Bigfoot time research. But then when I finally got back and, put my feet down, and one time I was going to take my truck in to my mechanic, my local auto mechanic, and I overheard him talking to another guy. They're both avid hunters in the area where I live. And I heard him talking about the creature, and my ears perked up, and I let them go on with their story. And after the other guy left, I got my mechanic aside, and I said, what I was hearing, was that true? I know you're a hunter, but what's this about this creature? And then he told me the story. He said, and by the way, he doesn't live all that far away from me. He said one day he was driving home from work. He just closed up shop. He was going home, If I remember the story correctly, I think he had to pick up his daughter and some of their friends, and he was bringing them over to his house. And, he had a 2 or 3 mile, 4 mile drive from there to his house. He lives right on a river. And, on the East Coast and the Southeast where I live, we don't get a lot of snow in the wintertime. And, this happened to be an unusual snow that came in the month of November, and if I remember correctly, it was 2004. And there was a good amount on the ground, 2, 3, 4 inches, not just a dusting, but, an actual depth of snow. And he happened to be looking out the side of his window under the streetlights, and he saw some prints in the ground. And this guy, he knows prints. And he wanted to pull over and see him because they looked huge. And he thought, the black bear or what? Pulls off the side of the road, gets out of the car. I think some of the kids did as well. If not, they were looking through the windows because everyone there was witness to what he was seeing, what he saw. He looks at these prints, and they're huge. I don't remember what size. So let's just say a throw out 15 to 20 inch was probably somewhere in that range. And he said he had to literally jump from one print to the next print. And that kind of, he was thinking, this is a big bear, And then he started looking more closely at it and noticed that they were bipedal. They were almost one and directly in front of the other. And he knows that bears walk side to side. And he said he knew it wasn't a bear, and he knew it wasn't a person at that time because he could see, you know, actual toe prints in the snow. He began to follow a little bit further up, and it went to a rise that it's a pretty steep vertical rise. It's difficult to climb that even in the summertime when the ground is dry. It's so steep. But the prints went right up the hillside in the snow, and there was no slippage, and, you know, this could not have been, in his mind, a fakery because there weren't any other prints alongside of it where humans had stamped, prints into the snow. And it was all virgin snow. And at that point, he got pretty rattled, and he got back to the car. He had his kids and their friends, and he just left and went back home. And he never followed up. He regrets today that, you know, he didn't go back out that night and try to, you know, trace where they went. But who knows? You know, we live in an area where they could have gone for miles and miles. But when he told me that story, that kind of struck home with me. And I said to myself, you know, I mean, they're actually not only in the area where the state that I live, but in the area where I live. So I started asking more questions, and he told me about some other witnesses, and he led me to this person, that person. I started to scientifically, you know, put the data together and figure out, you know, where might be ground zero, or at least one ground zero. And then I worked my way out from there. Put in quite a few hours, and over the four-year period, I actually, for myself, viewed five of the creatures, and have had dozens of close encounters. What I mean by a close encounter would be creature circling around me, creature running by me, creature charging at me, creature throwing rocks at me, creatures throwing acorns at me, things like that. I just had a basic, simple Sony limited IR camera to work with, so I haven't been able to get any video shots, but I've got dozens and dozens of audio recordings, and several of them are pretty good. I think pretty good. So, in a nutshell, that's the last year. This last past year, I haven't been out in several months. It's not probably last fall, maybe November, October time frame. I'd have to go. I keep a day-to-day log, a journal, and a Word document. So. And I in there I, you know, put the weather conditions, how many hours I was out, where I went, you know, it's pretty detailed. And so I haven't been out since that about last fall. But in the previous year,
hold on, Jack, let me interrupt you, please. Excuse me.
Yes.
You need to go to commercial break and
okay. Good enough.
We'll continue on. Marco, go to break.
Here we go.
Viewers in the world today know that this creature is out there. I have no doubt in my mind that there is a primate, a hominoid, a biped, something that walks on two all over this country. There's an unknown species out there, and we're going to find it. We've done vocalizations. We receive something in return, answering to it. We're going to be sharing our finds with the world. Because what we've got now, no one else has. And the legend carries on by the work that we've done all these years.
Say, back to you, Tom.
Thank you, Bill. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, if you've never seen Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Lives 2, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, In the Shadow of Bigfoot, go to our searchingforbigfoot.com, go to our stores, get the movies. I'm telling you right now, it's leaps and bounds above anything that's out there. It's leaps and bounds about anything that's on reality shows, okay? What you see is what we see, when we see it, how we see it. And you get it firsthand, just like we did, okay? I was just reading today that I guess the cast of Finding Bigfoot had fessed up to hoaxing or faking some of the episodes. I don't know anything about it because I really haven't seen them because I'm too busy myself. But I hope that that's not the case. Like, I got about 3 to 6 emails just today stating that that was true. Whether or not it is, I don't know, and I hope it just stops. I mean, there's enough out there for everybody in the world, and show it like it is, the way we do, like we did in Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Lives 2, The Anatomy, The Shadow of Bigfoot. And believe me, if you haven't seen it, go get it now. Don't walk. Your fingers do the walking, but run to do it. I'm telling you, you won't be dissatisfied. Okay, Jack, let's get back in. You're enthralling, man. I mean, you mesmerize me, I'll tell you. I'm sure maybe that's pretty much the same with the rest of my guests out there. Got the floor. Go to it.
I have no doubt that you've experienced over the years a lot of what I've been experiencing in just the past few years. And like I said, I'm semi-retired, so I could put in the time. You know, I had the luxury of putting in the time where others don't. So that's what I did and over the last 4 years. And then this last year, 2010, I decided I was going to dedicate 1 year of my life to going out as much as I possibly could, mostly at nighttime. And I still had to work, and I still had chores, so I couldn't go out every day. But out of the 356 days of the year, I could calculate it. I haven't done it yet, but I estimate I went out 250 days. In this last year, and probably an average of 8 hours a day, and mostly at night, and quite a few nights were, you know, all-nighters, you know. They even carried into the next morning.
Well, that's not bad for, you know, that's if you add them all together, I think that's something like 8 months straight, isn't it?
Probably so. And I believe that I learned some things through the process, And I believe that I have been able to find hotspots, legitimate hotspots, where the creatures go in my area. And I've pretty much covered a 5-county area. And when I say hotspots, I'm talking about areas that I believe that the creatures frequent almost nightly, but at least 2, 3, 4 times a week. But in some cases, nightly, you know, especially in certain seasons. And go ahead.
I'll ask you a question. And forgive me for interrupting you because during your tenure doing this, and especially with the vocalizations, have you ever seen these creatures parrot other creatures of the forest or heard them?
Imitate other creatures?
That's correct.
Yes. Yes, I believe I have some proof in my recordings that they're doing this.
You know, I could
cite a couple of stories if we wanted to.
Well, yeah, I just want you to know that, you know, it was very common that we would, the vocalizations that we would get, these things would mimic coyotes. They would mimic deer. Okay, with the snorting, they would mimic birds, early morning birds.
Mm-hmm.
It would blow my mind to see here we are out in the woods, there ain't nobody around, and you know we have distress signals and calls and what have you, and we'd use them, and then we know that it wasn't coming from those other kind of animals or those creatures. So, bottom line is, have you heard anything? Have you any stories?
Definitely. And I did more than just listen for them. I tried to determine once and for all if what I was hearing was the true animal or the Bigfoot. And one thing I noticed, that, you know, the sounds sound very similar, but I, you know, being out in the woods all those hours for those years, I kind of learned the other animals somewhat too. I would see coyotes, I would see bobcats and foxes and raccoons and deer, and whenever I spooked a deer, you know, they would make the deer snort sound. I used to be able to do it pretty good. I can't think of it how it goes now, but normally they would do, depending on what type of deer it is and if the family was nearby, if it was a buck or a doe, they would do two or three of the snorts and then run off. But when I saw, when I believed the Bigfoot was imitating the deer, it would sound very similar, maybe a little louder, if anything, but it would do it more than two or three times. It would do it maybe a half a dozen times, and then it would run off, and then it would run back and do half a dozen more. And then there was a period of time where this was happening over about a week span, at right around sundown, late spring, I believe. I forget what year. I'd have to look it up. And I went back and walked into the area because the deer snorts were coming from about 300 yards away. And I walked back in there during the daytime, and I noticed that the ground, the leaf litter on the ground, was all matted down to where you couldn't see the leaves anymore. There were several broken trees. There was one tree that was chewed up and had spike holes in it. It wasn't the type of, you know, tree disturbance that you would expect to see from a deer. And then not too long after that, I was walking through the same hot spot, and I heard the deer snorts again. This was another night, and one actually, an animal came out at me. You know, some would say, well, it was a deer. Well, the reason I say it wasn't a deer is it was maybe, again, 300 yards away, came up to me about 150 yards away making these snorts, ran back to, you know, the 300-yard area, so, and then came up to about 50 yards away from me. And very aggressive and very loud. And at that point, I dropped down to my knees and I was praying. That was one of the most scared times I ever had out in the woods. And I don't go out with a gun. I go out with a flashlight, and I only turn it on if I'm desperate, you know. And I had a camcorder going, and I picked up the sound. And the Bigfoot actually was making these deer snorts, came up to about, I'm estimating, 50 yards. It might have been even closer than that. I couldn't pick it up on the camera. Then it started wood knocking, loud wood raps on a tree. I heard another one wood knocking on a tree further away, and then they both ran down the hillside towards the river, and it was over.
Did you ever get to hear any rock clapping at all?
All the time. There's a family that I claim lives in my backyard woods. Doesn't live there, doesn't reside there, but visits on a regular basis. And I've got tons and tons of recording of their. I know that in my mind that there's at least two infants, one with about a 4-inch footprint and another one with about an 8-inch footprint. And the 8-inch footprint's about 5 inches wide. The 4-inch one's about 2 inches wide, 2.5 inches wide, which is a very tiny one. And I believe that I've seen the infant with an 8-inch print climbing down a pine, well, actually fell from a pine tree at 7 o'clock in the morning when I was packing up to leave one day. I heard a loud noise. It was on the East Coast. We have four different kinds of pine, yellow pine trees, tiny leaf, short leaf, medium leaf, and long leaf. This was the tiny leaf, what we call as a scrub pine. And he was climbing up the branches. It broke, snapped one of the branches. I didn't see it at the time. I just heard the snap of the branch. And I had audio equipment that day, no video. I picked up the sound of the branch breaking. I looked up at the tree, which was a distance off. I saw the creature falling down from the tree. I saw its backside. And to me, I described it about the size of an adult chimpanzee. It was black, you know, dark brown, black. It fell down, and then I lost it in the brush as soon as it hit the ground. I heard a squeaking noise up in the tree, and I recognized that as a squirrel. and I saw it jumping from tree to tree. I think the thing was trying to catch the squirrel up in the tree.
Wow. That's amazing. Now, let me ask you this. Here's the $50,000 or $50 million question. How many photos have you taken of this creature?
I like I said earlier, I haven't. I don't have any thermal cameras, and I don't have any expensive night vision cameras. I got decent audio equipment, but that's all that I've been able to afford at this time. So I've got a Sony limited IR camera, which I don't know how far, depending on the conditions and where the moon's at in its phase, 50 feet, 100 feet. And I can't film things in the dark with that camera, basically.
I understand. So just give me an eye personal count of view. You've seen the creature with your own eyes, correct?
Five times. Three times. The first time I saw the creatures, there were three of them together.
Okay. So you saw a family?
Three separate times.
Was it a male, female, and baby, a juvenile? What did you have there?
Okay, the first time I saw them, there were three of them, and I can tell you how tall they were. Not because I was close enough to see them. I could not even see their facial features or fingers. But I saw three of them standing, you know, those bales of hay that they roll up in the farmer fields. Well, it was just about sundown, a little bit before sundown, you know, dusk. And you can still see as plain as day outside. And in the distance, I was actually in a car. I was in the back seat of the car. My wife and one of my daughters was in the front seat. We were kind of rushing to an appointment that we were going to be late for. And we were on a fairly main road, and the road was adjacent to a park system. And there are big old fields where they, you know, cut the hay up, and beyond that there's forest. Well, I'm always looking, even when I'm driving, unfortunately, out the windows, I'm always looking to see what's around me. And I looked out the window, and I saw what I thought were three men standing next to the bale of hay, and I could see arms moving. And then I started to question in your mind. You do this when you're trying to logically analyze something in a short period of time. I was wondering. I started looking closer, and I said, "Why are these three men all dressed in black?" And I looked closer, and I said, "Wait a minute, they're dressed in black head to toe." And you know, and this was in the early days before I was really gung ho about Bigfoot hunting. This was after I talked to my mechanic, but I still wasn't doing it on a regular basis. Didn't have a camera, didn't have anything at the time. And so I'm seeing these things, and then it dawned on me, they don't have clothes. This is fur. So anyway, I didn't say anything to my wife or my daughter until later. I just was in shock, and we kept driving to our appointment. I went back there the next morning with my camera, filmed the entire area. I noticed, I even rolled down one of the bales. I noticed that one of the bale hay had been rolled over on its side down the hill, and I could hardly budge these things. I also noticed when I was watching them that the bale of hay came up to the top of it, came to about their abdomen. And I'm 5'7". When I stood up next to it, it was the top of my chest. So just by deduction, I'm estimating they were in the range of 6.5 to 7.5 feet tall. And there were three of them. They look skinny, and they look like adolescents. But I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, my theory is if they are animals, like other animals, they tend to be fatter in the fall. They beef up in the fall, and then the spring, after getting through a lean winter, they probably shed a few pounds, you know. But they might have been adolescent creatures that didn't have the muscle bulk yet.
Yeah, well, you know what? You're exactly right. It's not just that. It's the areas that they're indigenous to. You know, you can't get a creature that's in the Pacific Northwest climbing these rugged mountains and not get beefed up, where you're going down to the swamps of the South, where you got this terrible humidity and heat, and they're gonna lose a lot of girth, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It's been a treasure to have a man like you on our show, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. We'll have you on next week if you want to come. But we have another guest that we've been getting in demands all week. You weren't, I don't know if you listened last week at all, but we had Rooster, and Guy is compelling as hell, and everybody's been asking, can we have him on again? He's wonderful. He's agreed to come on for the last few minutes tonight, and he's bringing his mama. Had a bunch of encounters, too. But I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, Jack, and just help out. We got a lot more show here, okay?
Will do.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jack. Some phenomenal stuff that he's going through, and I like the way he records it all. Marco, who do we have for it? Do we still have Rooster with us?
We sure do, and Rooster and his mother, Mrs. Shamblin. Dennis Shamblin,
okay.
and Mrs. Shamblin.
Okay,
Rooster, are you up there?
Yeah, this is Dennis, and I got my mother, Wanda, with me.
Hi, Dennis. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay.
Listen, I want to thank you, first of all, for bringing the comeback on tonight. Last week, you told some incredible stories, and I got a ton of phone calls and emails from people from around the globe saying, hey, Tom, wow, we'd like to hear more from this guy. So I'm glad that you came back, and thank you very much. And I understand that your mama's with you tonight, and she's got some great stories, too.
Yeah, the same ones that I got, but it's going to be her account.
Okay, all right. Well, without me further ado,
I had another idea on tracking them, because like after we seen them, we track them, tried
uh-huh.
to track them, and we never did get close to them. But we found when we was tracking them, a lot of hollow trees that was full of like hunting knives and fishing knives and hollow trees just out in the woods and stuff. And so I thought maybe they're the ones that had stolen it from fishermen and hunters and stashed them in the trees. But I don't know, you know. And, we can just mainly ask us questions.
Okay. Well, first of all, let's get your mom on the phone. She there?
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Mr. Slimman. How are you?
This is Wanda, Dennis's mother.
Oh, well, Wanda, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I understand that you've had some great experiences with these creatures in the past. Is that correct?
Yes, I saw them same time he did. When we was working in the field, I saw one.
Does any particular story, Wanda, stick out in your head that you want to talk about?
And it was tall. I'm telling Dennis tonight, it was really tall. It was taller than a person. But it had hair, you know, with the whole body, brown hair, long hair on the whole body.
Huh?
And I could tell it was a man, but it wasn't a woman, it was a man. And had big muscles and all, big arms.
Did you tell its face? Did you see the face?
And I don't know why his face was kind of like a person's or a gorilla's one, you know, or something like that, kind of flat face.
Did you get to see his teeth at all?
We was walking up the rows of the field where we was working, and walking toward this old house there. Real old house that didn't have no paint on it. And we looked, and we got about the end of our rows, me and my daughter and Dennis did, and we saw it eating fruit off of that tree. There was a tree in front of the house. And he was just standing there picking fruit and eating it. And he just kept on eating it until we got a little closer. Then it quit and walked over not too far in front of us and just turned around and looked at us. I don't know why I wasn't scared, but I wasn't, because I guess it wasn't trying to hurt us. But I wasn't scared. And it looked at us, and then it turned and went on, climbed over the fence, and then kind of sort of like a different kind of a run than people have. It had such long legs when it was going over the fence, down them hills and rocky hills. It seemed like it just kind of glided or skipped or something different than people and went on down there to that river. There was a river on that side, Canadian River, I think, on that side, east side of where we was working.
You remember the time of year that you saw this? Was it summer, winter, fall?
Yeah, it was summertime because that fruit was ripe. Probably July or August because the fruit was ripe. I don't remember exactly what time it was because it's been so many years ago now.
I understand. Well, listen, I got to tell you, it's a joy to have somebody out here, you know, especially of your experience. And how many times do you think you've seen these things in your lifetime?
Oh, we saw that one. I don't know where we saw that many more. Have we saw that many more?
One on the farm, the leg.
Yeah, on the leg of that one on the farm. We thought our hog was eating one because it was eating something hairy. We never did know what it was. It was eating a long leg or something. The other one, Dennis, went out there and he wanted to kill this hog, and then he didn't because we had little pigs. And I guess that's why she wanted this animal, whatever it was. It was hairy, but we couldn't see the body. The legs, all we seen her chomping down the leg, and it had hair all on, so I don't know what it was.
Wow. Well, listen, Wanda, we love having you on. I didn't know that we're at the close of the show right now, but maybe we'll have you back next week, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
God bless you, and thank you for joining us. And Rooster, thank you for coming back on, and Jake, Thor, and Russ, I want to thank all of you people. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise full of David to die. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they have to unlock the door. Monsters, mystery, legend, terror.